Open your Bibles here this evening to the book of Matthew to start, and then we'll end up in 1 Timothy, book of Matthew, chapter 24, here this evening. And I'd just like to speak to understanding the times that we live in, Matthew chapter 24, verse 32 says these words, "Now when the parable of the fig tree," now learn the parable of the fig tree, "when the branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise, ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away." Let's pray here tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, and bless it to our hearts here tonight. And I thank you for those who gathered here tonight. And Father, we thank you for being the eternal God that changes not. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever, and thy word abideth. And Lord, I just pray that as your word abides forever, that God, tonight, that we would hear from the eternal word of God what you'd have for us. Lord, help me be a vessel, honors your son, your word, and brings glory to your holy name. And Lord, bless us as your people. Feed us with your heavenly man as we gather around it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You know, these few verses here, verse 32 through 35 of Matthew chapter 24, he says, "Now learn the parable of fig tree." And he's given this illustration. You watch a fig tree, and in springtime, the leaves start shooting forth. You know that summer's coming. It's a way of you make an observation, and you draw a conclusion that you know that summer is right around the corner. So verse 33, "So likewise, when you shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say to you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled." And what is he referring to? He's referring to the coming of the Son of Man, what the Lord Jesus Christ is going to do to this world when he appears again with his glory and the great cloud of witnesses, the angels that come with him. And he's given us a hint here. If you see things starting to happen, he says it's even at the doors. It's just right around the corner, right on the other side of the door, these things are going to be fulfilled. So what do we see as some of the things that are happening? What is near even to us? Now turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4 here, and I'd like to talk about some of these things that are happening even at the doors that we see happening in this generation. Because it says when you start seeing these things, you know that the coming of the Son of Man is imminent at any time. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, "Now the Spirit..." The Holy Spirit speaketh. Who's he speaking to? Paul, under divine inspiration, wrote 1 Timothy. Now, the Holy Spirit, who's speaking to Paul expressly, he says, "Now, Paul, I want you to understand something here." Now, the Holy Spirit's speaking to him, but it seems like as if the Holy Spirit says, "Paul, I want you to understand this is going to happen." He speaks expressly. The Spirit made it emphasize to Paul that in the latter times, now, Paul... When did Paul think Jesus was going to come back? In his day. They were looking for him back then. And yet it's been 2,000 years since then, the church age, that mystery that was not revealed in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, God had the church age. After the church age, God is going to go back to the plan of Israel in Romans chapter 10 and such chapters. God is going to continue working with the Gentiles. I mean, the Jewish people, the Gentiles, be set aside, and God's program will move again back into the Jewish people. Well, the latter times, what's going to happen in the latter times? And these are some of the things that shall happen. "Some shall depart from the faith." Now, it gives it, when it says that some shall depart from faith, it's almost like, now this faith is not a personal saving faith. The faith in that sense is referring to the doctrine or teaching of the church, the faith, the Christian faith. That's what that's referring to. This is the faith that's good doctrine. The faith there is referring to the teaching of Scripture. It's good doctrine. It's good teaching, the faith. It's not saving faith in the sense of personal belief, but it's embodiment of the truth of the Word of God, the faith. "Shall depart," in other words, turn away from, "that in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith." Now, "giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons." Now, think about this for a moment. Have you noticed anything in the Christian church as a whole? And I'm not talking about just saved people, true people, but in the whole of Christendom, has there been a moving away from the faith, so to speak, into things that are untrue, apostate? Do we see that moving away? Okay. Give me an example of something that has moved away in the whole of Christendom. Change that we've seen. Huh? Okay. The whole homosexual agenda. Now, how does God feel about that? He calls it what? Abomination. Now, in Leviticus, in Romans, Old Testament, New Testament, God makes it very clear, Sodom and Gomorrah, that is not acceptable to him. It's an abomination. How does people that had the faith, good doctrine, that were had it at one time, now end up over here? How does that have it? What do they do? Giving heed to what type of spirits? Deceiving spirits. Now, if you were to speak to these people, do they think they're right? Do they think they're very right? Yes. They think they're very, very right. They think they are absolutely convinced. And what do they think about us? That we are very, very what? Wrong. And you can talk to them all day long, and they're going to say you're absolutely wrong. Now, what is some of their line of thinking? Okay? In the Methodist Church some years ago, they took their hymnal, and they started taking out anything that referred to God being against, like, onward Christian soldiers. They took that out of their hymn book. Why do you think the Methodist Church took onward Christian soldiers out of their hymn book? They tossed it right out. Why? War, right. Okay, now, if you start with God is love, it doesn't sound very loving to go to war. Oh, well, we can't sing that anymore. Now, what does Lord of hosts mean? What does the host mean? Lord of Sabaoth, Lord of hosts. What does host mean? That's armies. God has an army. So we're very much in tune with God when we talk about onward Christian soldiers. But the problem is when you get into seducing spirits, they can take a truth and twist a truth to make a non-truth. And if you say God is love, is that a truth? In and of itself, is God love? That's a truth. But it's not the whole truth. Because God is much more than love. God is a holy God. What did the priests wear on their turban than they wore? They said, holiness unto the Lord. That's what they wore. That's God is holy. Now, if you read scripture, you walk away with this concept of holiness. If your theology starts with holiness, then how does God feel about sin? He hates it. So if sin, God defines sin, if God says sin is sin and he's holy, he's going to punish sinners. So now some people, they have the doctrine. Now, I heard an Episcopal priest one time, I was standing just so far away from him, and I just remember him saying these words. God doesn't spank a child forever. He would never send anyone to hell. Hell can't exist because you don't spank a child forever. And in my young Christian mind, I'm thinking about this. I'm thinking, well, maybe they're not God's child. See, you can be God's creation, but not God's child by faith in Christ. But see, in his theology, what was his theology? The fatherhood of God, the brotherhood of man. Everyone is, you know, God made us all. And so, but these doctrines of demons that we see here are evident everywhere. That in the latter time, some shall depart, move away, apostatize from the faith, the doctrine, embodiment of truth, giving heed to seducing, deceiving spirits and doctrines of what? Demons or devils. Now, how do these people operate? Verse 2, speaking lies in what? Hypocrisy. Now, you almost get the idea they know the truth, but they don't want to embrace the truth, because if they embrace the truth, they'd have to change their lifestyle. So they speaking lies in hypocrisy. Although they've been exposed to the truth, they reject the truth, they speak a lie, but they do know the truth. And when you know the truth and you tell a lie about the truth, you're a hypocrite. and they speak lies and hypocrisy. Okay, let's just see here, a lie and hypocrisy. Is this taught? There are no absolutes. Okay, now if you think that through far enough, what does that statement eventually end up?
A lie.
Because, right, well, even of itself, it's self-contradicting, because you can say there's absolutely no absolutes, then you absolutely made an absolute about no absolutes, so your absolute is absolutely foolishness. You see how that works? That's lies and hypocrisy. Because really what they're trying to say when there's no absolutes is I don't want any moral framework over my life. That's what they're really saying deep down. They won't admit it, but that's what they're saying deep down. I don't want any moral absolutes in my life. So I'll say there are no absolutes. But that's a lie and hypocrisy. Because your whole statement doesn't even make sense. Okay. Depart from the faith, people in the faith. Now, I heard a conversation one time about two people. They were talking to each other. One was prosperity theologian, preacher. Another person was very conservative in his beliefs. And he asked this fella, the line of thinking what I was exposed to was, how does your teaching and preaching work for somebody in a third world who lives in a grass hut? How does that apply to them? And he really didn't have an answer, because prosperity gospel only works in the West where there's a lot of materialism. You take that same message and put it in some jungle somewhere where all they got is rocks and sticks and bugs, and tells them that you can have anything you want, just ask God. Well, what are they to ask God for? There's nothing around. But see, that's doctrines of demons, because it plays upon people's carnal nature to always want more and to see God as a big Santa Claus in the sky that will give them whatever they want. How about speaking lies and hypocrisy? How about somebody that's genetically born a man and then he says he's a woman and everybody's supposed to refer to him as a woman? Is that a lie or a truth? That's a total lie. And everybody knows it's a lie. God made him what? Male and female. Your DNA, that's the way God made you. But do you see how this speaking lies and hypocrisy, how we in our culture can get sucked into it, and we start channeling our thoughts down the road that they've carved out, not what God's carved out. We've got to be so careful. Because what we don't want to do is become accepting of these lies. Now, it's been said, from a point of authority, if you keep telling a lie over and over again, people will what? Believe it. If you speak from a point of authority over and over again, you keep telling a lie, people are going to believe it. And in our culture today, there's so many lies and hypocrisy that are flying about. How about humanism? Humanism is what? What is humanism? Man is the center of what? Everything. There is no God. There is no creator God. That's just a lie of the devil. Because heaven and earth testify that there's a creator. And, you know, every building that's built has some designer or some builder that built it. And to say it just poof, happened is a lie. Well, what happens if you speak lies and hypocrisy long enough? Having their conscience what? Seared with, that's what happens to people. They keep telling the lie long enough, and after a while they begin to believe it themselves. And their conscience is beyond feeling. When you're seared with a hot iron, you have no more feelings left. People can come up and tell you the truth and it just goes right by you. Or you have this, you know, deer in the headlight look. They just don't get it. Their conscience is seared with a hot iron. And that's a danger when people give heed to seducing spirits, deceiving spirits, doctrines of demons. They can affect themselves to such a point they can't hear it anymore. They can't hear truth anymore. Their conscience is seared. Now, Verse 3, forbidding to marry. Can you name a denomination that forbids? Ah, absolutely. You know, every time I read that, that's where my mind goes. And not only that, but read the rest of it. The forbidding to marry and abstain from food which God has created for receive with thanksgiving. What do Catholics do? They have to abstain from red meats on Friday. On Friday. That's why they eat fish. You know, I just wonder when Catholics read this, if they ever connect the dots there. I mean, I do. I see it right there. And then I get back to speaking lies and hypocrisy. Now, is the Catholic Church doing well today? No, they're not doing well. Because they forbidden their priests to marry, and what did that cause in the Catholic Church? Immorality, ungodliness, and wickedness. Oh, absolutely, yes.
I thought, well, I guess that clears all the priests, I guess.
Yeah. But see, that's when you give heed to seducing spirits. So these are serious issues because people either of two places are going in eternity, either heaven or hell. And those who follow the demons and doctrines of demons, they're not going to end up in heaven. Forbidding the marriage commanding to abstain from food, meats which God has created to receive with thanksgiving of them which believe and know what? The truth. So what's our defense? You got to know the truth. You got to believe the truth. That's your defense, which them which believe and know the truth. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, that's what demons do. They can be very convincing to people. Now, where do we get the truth from? It's the scriptures. Now, I heard this story years ago when FBI was training their agents to spot counterfeit money. How they would train them was not get every piece of counterfeit money, lay it all out on the table and say, this is counterfeit, this is counterfeit, this is counterfeit. They get a real dollar bill and they tell them, you study this thing and you recognize it. And so for them, how they learned to spot counterfeit, they know what the real was like. And so anything less than that was counterfeit. And so for us, we've got to know the truth. Now, Satan's so subtle. I want to make a statement. I want you to tell me what's wrong with this statement. The Bible contains the Word of God. What's wrong with that statement? Ah, but do you see that subtle shift? See, if I say it contains the Word of God, then I've just cracked the door a little bit. Because I can say, well, this is of God, and this isn't of God in the Bible. And see, that's how subtle people are. They'll make a statement, they'll just put it on the table. And if you're not discerning quick, just like Brandy picked up, it's not that it contains, it is. And see, there's a huge difference. But see, that's how Satan, he'll nudge people a little bit, and they embrace that, then he pushes them some more down the road. When you know the truth, you have to drive your stake in on that truth, so to speak. Which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if received with thanksgiving. You know, I thought it was interesting. Verse 3 talks about thanksgiving for those that know and love God. Verse 4 is talking about receive with thanksgiving. You know, thanksgiving is woven right in there with knowing the truth. And you recognize God. For it is sanctified, set apart by the word of God in prayer. Verse 6, it turns from the negative here in verse 1 through 4. Verse 6, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained, but refuse profane and old wise fables, and exercise thyself rather than godliness. And for us, what we want to do in verse 6 is have good doctrine, that we know and we abide in that. Are there any liars out in the world? Is there any liars in media? You know, to me, it's huge today. There are so many people, you just can't trust them anymore. And what they don't realize is the spirit of the age is flowing through them. They don't realize it, but Satan is using them to push his agenda and to do anything. And now, the doctrines of demons are everywhere. I mean, we didn't talk about evolution tonight, but is that a doctrine of demons? It sure is. We didn't talk about socialism. And we didn't talk about the Bible in and of itself being challenged as a word of God. Communism. I mean, all these things. It just goes on and on. And what do we do as believers? We have to know good doctrine, and we have to know the scriptures. In Matthew chapter 4, well, let's just turn there real quick just to see how Satan works. Even when Jesus was tempted, Jesus used the word of God in Matthew 4. And so Satan tried to use it back on him. And verse 5 of Matthew 4, then the devil take him up in the holy city, set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and he saith to him, now, see, Satan used the word of God. If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee. In their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. You know, was that a truth? It was. But there's more truth than that, because Jesus says, yeah, that's true, but it's written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord your God. Don't put God in the box. And so how discerning do we need to be? We need to be very discerning, because Satan can twist scripture to push us to do something that may not be godly. And we got to know the word of God. And what does Satan ultimately want to do? Why all this deception? Why all this deceit among people? It's really found in verse 10. If you want to pull back the screen on Satan, this is his agenda. Get thee hence, Satan, Jesus said, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. That is the key. What Satan wants people to worship him and follow him. And what's going to happen when he enters the temple? He's going to declare himself to be God. That's what he wants. He wants people to worship him. But we as true believers, don't be deceived. Don't let yourself go down that road of doctrines of demons, because it'll take you down where you don't want to go. Now, understanding the signs of the times. Now, the Spirit speak expressly, in the latter time, some shall depart from the faith. We see this everywhere. And we as God's people can take trust in, God knows this is going to happen. And he knows those that are his. And he's able to deliver them out of temptation and bring them into his glorious kingdom. He that has begun a good work in you will what? Complete it. Under the last time on the day of Christ, and we can trust God to see us through. So as Paul wrote this, the Spirit speaks expressly, we know we're on God's side as we interpret the word of God and apply it to ourselves in a way. Anybody have any thoughts about this passage? Any insights about the latter days? Anything about doctrines of demons or things we face in our culture today? Yes, Nancy.
Just something that happened recently with us was that we were given a book, and it was in a new quote translation, and it was called the Passion Translation. And I just got online to check this out, and this guy apparently had been a missionary with New Tribes. But long story short, here he took 50% of the Psalms is added material by him. And as I looked into it further, here this guy is actually claims that there's an extra chapter to John chapter 22, and Jesus took him up to heaven, showed him a library room, and here he saw this book, and he said he wanted chapter 22 of John. And Jesus said no, but he said, well, maybe I could steal it from him. And then he said, no, I can't steal from Jesus. And Jesus said, well, someday I'll bring you back up, and you will take this chapter down. Now, this is a guy that's supposedly it's a translation, but it's really not. And this is circulating among Christians today here in America. And, you know, it's just sad times, because anybody can write a book. Anybody can slap translation on it when it's definitely a paraphrase at best with all his extra added material. But we just have to be so discerning that, you know, we really test the spirit, so to speak, and check things out.
Mm-hmm. I do not want to be him, because in Revelation it says you don't ask or take away right. From the word of God.
Yeah, it's serious. That is very serious. But does that happen? And can innocent people be deceived? Absolutely. There's false teachers out there in the world. I remember Dr. Falwell sharing this story one time. He was at he was aware of some meeting this guy was having, and what he was doing, it was like he would say, God told me this about you. But what he would do, his wife would be like, there'd be a line of people. His wife would be like 10 people ahead meeting people. He had a little earpiece, and she would meet this person. Now, he's a businessman from Colorado. You know, he owns real estate. And she'd pump him for whatever information. So when that guy got up to him, he would look at him and say, oh, God told me you're from Colorado. How'd you know that? Oh, you've been in real estate 10 years. Is that right? Yeah. God told me if you give me this much money, he's going to bless you with 10 times more. Now, is that using God? Is that a deceiving spirit? Is that speaking lies and hypocrisy? That really happened. There's people out there that are just demonically inspired to lie and cheat people. And they use God's name. That's serious, because God has a word for them one day. And it's not going to be, well done, thy good and faithful servant. So, anybody else have any thoughts of what we're... Yes, Tim.
It's just amazing how fast you see the world events unfolding. I mean, even things politically and so many things you would have thought would take years are just happening so fast.
Right. And to add that, just the homosexual agenda, how fast has America gone from this being an abomination to be sensitivity training on all of our big corporations? It is like nonstop. You know, I was so proud of the Boy Scouts for years holding the line on the homosexual agenda, and then they caved. And guess what's happened to them now? They got over 90,000 lawsuits against them in their organization. They're done. I mean, they're totally bankrupt. And I thought about all these Christians that gave money to the Boy Scouts and all their camp properties are going to go up for sale, and all this money is going to go to all these pagan people. And it's horrible. But that's where we're at. And that's how fast, like Tim's saying, how fast it's gone.
Yeah, but I think of that, especially Boy Scouts, because I was very active in it.
Okay.
What I told Melody, I can make thousands of dollars. She said, how's that, Dad? I said, I can say I was abused by my scoutmaster. He's dead and buried a long time ago.
Right.
And so, I mean, I think a lot of that's happening there, too.
Absolutely. A lot of liars have just jumped on the bandwagon to make some money. It's like, hey, join in.
These people that call you on the phone with all these your money, you got it.
Right. Nancy got a phone call. There was a warrant out for her arrest if she didn't return this phone call quickly. That really made her nervous.
I love the ones when they say, don't hang up, I got a report message for you.
just liars everywhere. Well, be aware as God's people. Be wise. Know good doctrine, good truth. Stand for the truth. And God's going to honor you one day as true believers. Well, let's pray here. Dear Lord, thank you for what we looked at here tonight, and bless us as your people. God, may we be strong in faith and not to give heed to seducing, deceiving spirits. And Lord, the spirit of the age is everywhere, God. And we see Christians being hammered everywhere, God, and persecuted for their faith. And Lord, all we want to do is live godly and treat one another and love one another as you command us to. And yet, Lord, we are the offscouring of the world. And God, they speak of us as such evildoers. And yet, Lord, you know the truth. And God, help us to abide in the truth and to love the truth, defend the truth. And one day, Lord, enjoy the truth of the Word of God in your heavenly place. So, Lord, may we be faithful to the faith and fervent in spirit, not slothful in business, honoring you, God. Help us toward this end, Lord. The days are short. Eternity is long, and may we love and honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.